Please open your Bibles this evening to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. We're going to break in at verse 35. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35. Let's hear God's Word. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Amen. God will add his blessing to that reading from His Word to our hearts for His name's sake. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? Let's ask the Lord to come and speak again through His Word. Let's all pray. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, as we come to Thy throne of grace one final time before the preaching and the hearing of Thy Word, we thank Thee that Thy Word makes it abundantly clear that Thou knowest our many infirmities. Thou knowest our weakness. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt therefore give the power that is needed for this meeting. We would ask Thee especially tonight in the name of Christ that Thou wilt give saving power to any and every lost soul in this meeting. We confess to Thee, our God, that man has not the power in his own will to save himself, to create even an anxious thought about his soul. We admit to Thee, Lord, as the Word of God teaches us, that no one can create faith or create repentance. These are gifts that come from Thee. Therefore, we pray in Jesus' name that Thou wilt give faith, that Thou wilt give repentance for sin tonight, that Thy Holy Spirit will bring men by His power from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Thy dear Son. And we ask Thee to do that, that Jesus Christ might enjoy the rewards of His suffering. We pray it in His name and for His sake. Amen and amen. In 1681, John Bunyan published a sermon, and that sermon had this subtitle, A Plain and Profitable Discourse on John 6:37. In that verse, the Lord Jesus Christ captures the very essence of the gospel. All that the Father giveth me will come to me, and him that cometh I will in no wise cast out. Bunyan's main title to that sermon captures the heart of that text, the heart of the gospel, and therefore the heart of Christ's earthly ministry. Bunyan's main sermon title read like this: Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. It's no surprise that the gospel accounts of Christ's life are so chock full of references of people coming to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ receiving them with open arms. Here in chapter 1 of Mark's gospel, we find Christ on the Sabbath day casting an unclean spirit out of a man who was in the synagogue. Mark says that his fame spread abroad throughout all the region of Galilee. It is no surprise then that we read in verse 32 that at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And the Spirit of God adds in the text, in the next verse of that text, all the city was gathered together at the door of the home of Peter. Use a little bit of sanctified imagination for a moment, will you? All the city was gathered together at the door of the home of Peter. Here were hundreds of people coming to Christ. Imagine the hubbub, the noise, the shouting that would have taken place around Peter's home that night. But the wonderful thing is that Christ received them, and He received them with open arms. From the very outset of His earthly ministry, sinners were taught that not only was He the one to whom they needed to come, but that Christ, His whole life testified, that they were welcome whenever they would come to Him. His own ministry declared that truth of John 6:37, and him that cometh, any him in the world, as Bunyan put it, him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. Come and welcome was the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gracious declaration of the gospel to sinners. With such a welcome and such wonder-working power, it is no surprise at all that His name and His fame and His claims spread like wildfire. And it would seem that this is the reason why we find this leper approaching Christ one day. Somehow, some way, he had heard about this man called Jesus, who had this power to cast out demons and to heal all manner of diseases. And somehow he got hold of the idea, that if he would come to Christ, that he would be welcome. A leper. He would be welcome. And he would not be a cast out like everyone else treated him. His name is not even given. But he sought Christ for healing. And Christ received him, and Christ healed him. And he was never the same after that encounter with the Son of God. The scene before us tonight is a very graphic picture of the gospel. The leprosy represents the spiritual state of every sinner prior to coming to Christ, plagued with the awful disease of sin. The leper paints for us the sinner, diseased, sick unto death, seeking Christ for salvation. And Christ healing this man is, you might say, God's yes to any and every true cry for healing. From this touching scene in Mark's gospel, I want to speak for a few moments this evening on a leper's saving contact with Jesus Christ. A leper's saving contact with Jesus Christ. I only have 2 points. The bulk of the message will be taken up with the first point. The leper. The leper is my first point. While there is very little told us regarding the biography of this poor leper, there are several vital things we glean from these handful of verses in Mark's Gospel. First, I want you to note the leper's condition. As we look at his physical condition, we will see solemn truths about the spiritual condition of any and everyone that has never come into contact with Jesus Christ, never come into saving contact with Jesus Christ. Here in all of its blackness is the picture of the state of every soul plagued by the leprosy of sin. First, note the sickness of his condition. He is called a leper. He's plagued with the disease of leprosy. Just what this disease was in the biblical times is a matter of debate among Bible scholars. Many have taken the position that this leprosy of the Bible is equivalent to modern-day leprosy, which is known today as Hansen's disease. It was called Hansen's disease because a Norwegian doctor with that surname was the first to see the bacteria under the microscope that caused leprosy in 1873. It wasn't until the 1940s that a drug was developed to treat this kind of leprosy, and not until the 1980s that a multi-drug approach was developed to treat drug-resistant strains of leprosy within communities. Many other Bible scholars point out that while there are similarities between Hansen's disease and the leprosy pictured in the Bible, there are too many differences to conclude that they are one and the same. But of course, my point is not to enter into the debate over that particular issue. My point just now is to underscore the diseased state of this leper. We can't begin to imagine the horror that would have come over a man or a woman in biblical times when they were told by the priest that they had leprosy. There was no known cure. It was a death sentence and guaranteed to be one of the most painful and horrendous deaths imaginable. It was a disease that began as white spots on the skin. The white spots would eventually turn crusty or scaly. The Greek word for leper comes from the word that means scale. As the leprosy progressed, the skin would begin to break down and ulcerate. The reference in Leviticus 13, where the direction is given concerning the leper to be declared unclean because of the raw flesh. Once diagnosed with leprosy, you automatically became an outcast and were confined to living with others in your same condition. Anytime you came near others for whatever reason, the Levitical law stated that you had to cry out, notifying them, "Unclean!" Even if you were in desperate need of help, you would have to, as the gospel paints those 10 lepers in Luke 17, stand afar off and cry for help. As your flesh rotted, you gave off a foul odor. And so you were doomed to die a horrible and painful and very lonely life. Such was the sickness of this man who came to Christ one day to be healed. And such in the spiritual realm is the sickness of everyone in this meeting tonight who is diseased with the leprosy of sin. You know, we're all born spiritual lepers in the sight of God. Sin is that awful, deadly disease that permeates every faculty of our soul. Our mind is polluted by sin. Our understanding is diseased. It's darkened by sin. Our heart, our affections, our interest, our desires, unless there's been saving contact made with Jesus Christ,
We have no interest in spiritual things. We have no interest in, we have no love for holiness. We have no love for the Word of God. We have no love for prayer. We have no love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know why? Because your heart is diseased with the leprosy of sin. And furthermore, your will is plagued with this disease. You cannot change the direction of your will. You are born biased against God. You are born walking away from God, despising His truth, and you don't have the power to fix that disease, to heal that corruption of your will. Sin has polluted your soul. And this sickness, I have to point out, is a sickness unto death. Sin always brings a death sentence. And twice in Ezekiel 18, the prophet says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And die you will. What kind of death you die depends on whether or not you have made saving contact with Jesus Christ in this life. Have you? The seriousness of his condition, not just the sickness of it, but the seriousness of it. It is Luke, interestingly enough, the beloved physician, who gives this added bit of the leper's state. He was a man full of leprosy. In other words, his leprosy was in the advanced stages. It was not just a little white spot here or a little white spot there. He was covered from head to foot with this leprosy. It would not be long now before this disease finished its work and brought this man down to the grave. And I have to point out, that's the physical picture. I've got to point out to you the spiritual state of your own soul. That's the state of your soul tonight if you have not personally come into saving contact with Jesus Christ. You may have come into contact with the church. You may have come into contact with a religion. You may have come into contact with other Christians. But see, none of that's going to do you any good. Remember, there was no known cure for this leprosy. If God did not heal, that individual was going to die an awful and horrible death. And so it will be with you. If you do not come to Christ, like this leper came to Christ for the healing of this disease. When God said of Israel, of her sin in Isaiah chapter 1, it can be truly said of your sin, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. The condition of this leper was horrendous. Rotting flesh, foul smelling, not far from death. I want to look in the second place under this first point at the leper's coming. The leper's coming. Verse 40, the first part, and there came a leper to him. Note first place, he came by himself. No one else would or could take him to the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought of those that man, the palsied man, and four men carried him on a stretcher to the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps, I don't know, but perhaps everybody else had just given up on this man. He'll not be long now. He's in advanced stages. He's full of leprosy. It's all over. But he must have reasoned. And I want you to reason like this tonight. Like this leper must have reasoned. He must have reasoned that if I don't get myself to Christ, if I don't try to make some kind of contact with Him, it really is all over with me. I'm going to die. I will go by myself, though no one will go with me. Though all have given up hope on me, I will go to him. That is how every one of us who are saved in this meeting tonight, that's how every one of us have come to Christ. Our parents may have told us about Christ, but they can't actually bring us to him. Your friends may want nothing to do with going to Christ, but you must, like this leper, you must go to him by yourself, or there is no hope of being healed of this sin disease that's going to bring you down, not just to the grave, but bring you down to hell. And that is the long and the short of it. He came not only by himself, but he came humbly. And kneeling down to him, Mark writes. Luke says, he fell on his face. Matthew says, there came a leper and worshipped him. In other words, he comes up close to Christ, smell and all. Do you get the picture? Leprous rags and all that are soaked with the body fluids of his leprosy. Can you see him? What an ugly sight he is. He comes up close to Jesus Christ. He drops on his knees, he gets on his face, and he worships him. This leper knew what he was, all right. And he knew that the one before whom he bowed, the one to whom he was begging for his life, was Lord. After all, wasn't that the only position he should take? He was a leper. He had nothing to be proud or conceited about. He was penniless and he was powerless. He could not reverse his hopeless and his helpless condition. And so, full of leprosy, covered with the leper's rags, wanting so much to be healed, he bows himself at the feet of the great physician in humble reverence, and he says this, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And that is how every lost, diseased sinner must come to Jesus Christ. Humbly. He is Lord. And you are bankrupt, and you are leprous. You're a dying sinner who has no other claim upon Jesus Christ than his mercy. Come to Christ, you must. But come humbly and reverently, you must. You are not in a position to demand anything of Christ. You are not in a position to bargain with him. Christ welcomes beggars, and you're a beggar. I want you to see yourself lost. You haven't made saving contact with Christ, and you know it right well. You have not made saving contact with Christ. You may have heard about him all your life. You may have heard the gospel preached all your life, but you yourself have never come into personal contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. You yourself have never come humbly before him, admitting, confessing, I am bankrupt, I am a beggar. Lord, if you will you save me? You can. Will you do it? Christ welcomes ruined beggars. He welcomes leprous sinners. Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. I want you to notice the leper's confidence. He makes an amazing statement, you know. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You know, it's quite the opposite of the father with the demoniac-possessed child who said to Christ, if thou canst do anything, help us. If you can, if you have the power, if you have the ability, I understand the father's doubts. I don't excuse them, but I understand them. All of his disciples didn't have the power to cast the demon out of his boy. Well, if you can, these boys couldn't, but if you can do anything. Not this leper. It's an amazing statement. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst. This leper had no question about the ability of the Lord Jesus Christ to heal him. Thou canst make me clean. That is, as far as I'm concerned, a very clear display of his confidence in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had confidence in Christ that was personal. Thou canst make me clean. He believed not only that Christ had this ability to heal, but that he had the ability to heal him. That was personal faith in Christ. And by personal faith, I don't just mean that it was his own faith in Christ. That is always true. You know, the faith of your mother or your father or your pastor, that faith can't save you. The faith that saves is always of a personal nature. It's you. It's you believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ for yourself. But by personal faith, I mean that you simply don't believe that Christ has the power to save your friend, or he has the power to save your brother or your sister, or he has the power to save that other leper, but he has the power to save you. You. Isn't that what opened the eyes of Martin Luther when he had gone on for fasting for days on end? When he saw it just dawned on him the forgiveness of sins, and Luther that's my sins that are forgiven. Mine. You must believe that he has the ability to save you. I think the man must have reasoned that if Jesus Christ can cast out demons and heal all these other people of their diseases, surely he can cure me of mine. And it's very true that Christ has saved drunkards. He has saved drug addicts and sodomites and lesbians and thieves and murderers and liars. But the faith that saves is not the faith that simply believes he can or has saved these kind of people. The faith that saves is a faith that believes he can save me, even me with all of my sin. He can save me. If he saved them, why can he not save you even tonight? I wonder if you thought you can't be saved. I'm beyond hope. I'm not one. My sin's too black. It's too deep, too long standing. Oh, but he can. That you must believe. You must be confident that Jesus has the power to save you right where you are tonight. Do you believe that? He had confidence in Christ that was not only personal, but it was perceptive. Note carefully again what he says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If you are willing, you can. I have no doubt about your power to do this. I've heard about how you've healed others. I've heard about you've cast out demons. I know, I am convinced that you can heal me of this leprosy. The only thing I don't know is if you're willing. But I believe if you're willing, you can save me. Folks, I want to tell you that is one of the most marvelous statements in all the Word of God. The leper perceived, he perceived something very important about the activity of God. And that is this. What the Lord does is solely conditioned upon His sovereign will. What the Lord does, whatever He does, wherever He does it, is solely conditioned upon His sovereign will. Lord, if it is Your will, You can heal me. That was a very big theological statement about the sovereignty of God. And that statement was not made by the theology professor in a seminary. And it was not made in a classroom. And it was certainly not made in the midst of a heated debate by a Calvinist and an Arminian. It was made by a poor leper at the feet of Jesus Christ. If it's Your sovereign will, if You are willing, I know You can heal me. And that leper perceived that his cleansing lay in the hands of the sovereign will of Christ. That man believed that Christ has the right to exercise His power to heal him or not to exercise it. He knew right well that he had no claim upon Jesus Christ, that Christ was not obligated, He was not bound to heal him. He didn't have to. When he said, "If thou wilt," he was saying that his cleansing was a matter of the sovereign grace of Christ. Now, please do not mistake what I'm saying. If a man is willing to receive grace from Christ, you can be dead on sure that Christ is quite willing to give it. If you are willing to be saved tonight, to be cleansed of your sin and healed of this disease of sin, I can assure you on the authority of God's Word that Christ is quite willing to heal you. If you're willing to be healed, He's very willing to heal you. But let's also be as confident as this leper that you have no claim upon God for anything. If God chose to leave us alone in our sin, He'd be just in doing so. Not as the woman who was very upset with me many years ago in Orlando and said, you're giving that sinner who in hell will have the right to point his finger at God and say, I'm here in hell because of you. Oh, no, 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 no. God is not obligated to save anyone. We deserve nothing but hell. We don't deserve the opportunity to be saved. Having said that, we must be confident that if Christ is willing, He has all the power necessary to save. I just want to know something. Are you willing to be saved? That's what I want to know. Are you wanting? This leper was wanting to be healed. Don't you get it?
He was wanting to be healed. He wanted this disease gone from his life. I want to ask you, my lost sinner friend, is that what you're wanting? Or do you just want some fire insurance? You just want to have some kind of peace of mind that you're not going to hell, but you really, really, let's be honest, you really, really don't want to be delivered from your sin. You love your leprosy. You love this disease that's coursing through your soul. You don't want to give it up. That's quite different than this man. He wanted healed. Do you? Come now, let's be honest. Do you really want to be healed by Christ? If you really want to be healed, Christ is very willing and very able to heal you. His confidence in Christ was also particular. His faith brought him to deal directly with Jesus Christ. Note the pronouns. Lord, if Thou art willing, Thou canst make me clean. His faith, his confidence about his condition was fixed in Jesus Christ alone, not certainly on his ability to do anything to reverse his condition. His faith was not fixed upon the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ or anything or anyone else. He was looking alone to Jesus. Got to get to him. Let me tell you all this evening that, as the hymn writer put it, none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. None but Jesus. None but Christ can satisfy. No one but the Son of God was sent to die for guilty sinners. No other shed blood will do. No other name can save. It's none other but Christ. Christ, Christ alone. Christ. Have you placed your faith in Him? Have you made saving contact with Jesus Christ? Him. Doesn't matter to me if you've joined a church. Doesn't matter to me if you've been baptized. It won't make a button's worth of difference if you have not personally put your confidence in Jesus Christ alone. Do you believe in your heart of heart? If I've Jesus, Jesus only, that's all that matters. I might lose everyone and everything else. But if I have Him, I have everything. You believe that? This leper came looking only for Christ to heal him. In closing, I come to my second point. He turned from the leper to look at the Lord. I've already, by way of implication, said much about the Lord Jesus already. But bear with me for a moment, and let's look at the Lord's pity. In verse 41, Mark writes, after he makes this statement, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean," and Jesus, moved with compassion. There lies at his feet this sorry, foul-smelling, rag-wrapped leper. If the pictures we've seen of modern-day Hansen's disease, how it disfigures the face, are even a slight representation of this man who is full of leprosy. Can you imagine what the Lord looked down at as he saw that leper looking up to him and saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the Lord was not repulsed by the odor or by the sight or by the disease. The Lord had compassion on him. His heart was moved with pity. At once, Christ says, I will. You can't imagine. He knew everything was hanging upon the will of Christ, not his power. If thou wilt, I will. If you're willing, I'm willing. Be thou clean. It shows, you know, the mind of Christ towards sinners plagued with the disease of sin. How often he is moved with compassion at the plight of sinful men. It was the compassion that moved the Lord to act. He took pity. And he moved to take away the cause of the misery. Everyone here in this room tonight who has come into saving contact with the Lord Jesus Christ can testify. You came to him just as you were. And all of your sin and your failure, just telling the Lord, somewhere, someplace it took place, I'll tell you that much. You went to Jesus and all of your sin, and he said, I will. He pitied you. He didn't beat you over the head. He didn't say, get away from me. He didn't kick you. My heart is being taken back to that wonderful account of the prodigal son. On the day the boy came back home. While he was yet afar off, his father saw him. The father, by the way, pictures Christ. I want you to know that in that account. The father saw him and he ran to him and did what? He fell on his neck and he kissed him and he kissed him and he kissed him. Oh, do you understand? He saw his boy come back home in the rags of his sin and his rebellion against him. He'd been feeding the swine. He stunk. But the Lord's arms are wide open. One day you came to him and he fell on your neck and he kissed you and he kissed you and he kissed you. This is my son that was lost, but now is found. This is Jesus Christ, the great physician, who has pity upon diseased sinners. The average Jew wouldn't want to come near a leper. Matter of fact, wouldn't even want to be seen in his company. But Christ stoops to meet this man at the point of his deepest need. You know, how unlike Christ is with the world, and sadly even with many of God's people. Isn't it true and sad that we like to deal with the respectable lost?
Middle class, lost. But you know, the real vile castaways, not so interested in them. Not Jesus. You can know tonight, no matter how black your sin, how deep your misery, that Christ is willing to save you. Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. Finally, the Lord's power, not just His pity, but you see the Lord's power. Verse 42, after the Lord said, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from Him and He was cleansed. Immediately this leper was cleansed of his leprosy. I'm here to tell you again tonight that your heart is not too hard for Christ, that your sin is not too deeply dyed, that His blood cannot immediately cleanse you from all, blessed word, all of your sin. Your circumstances, the devil wants you to believe otherwise, I'll tell you that, but your circumstances are not hopeless at all. This is the mighty Christ. This is the one who is mighty, mighty to save. He's never meant a case that's too hard for Him. No matter how long standing your life of rebellion may be, Christ Jesus is omnipotent. And therefore, He can cleanse you of your spiritual leprosy tonight, even though this may be your last hour. And it just may be. As a young boy about to turn 13, I was sitting on the back row of a Baptist church as the gospel was preached. And I sat there that morning, that hot summer morning in August, trembling, because I was afraid that this day could very well be my last. And I knew that if I died that day, I was going straight to hell. Immediately, I would be in hell. Thankfully, it wasn't my last. And thankfully, that day, Christ said to me, I'm willing, John. Be clean. Immediately, I was saved. Immediately, all of my sins were forgiven. And tonight, this night, you can be healed. You can be saved. You can be changed forever. Because Christ is mighty, mighty to save. Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, filled with pity, joined with power. He is able. He is able. He is able. Doubt no more. Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. God write His word upon every heart. For His name's sake, we bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, please. I imagine most everyone here tonight would profess to be saved, to be healed by Christ. You would profess you've made saving contact with Christ, but I
I believe certainly there's at least one here. At least one here tonight. And you sit there and you know right well that you have never had personal saving contact with Christ. You may have done many religious things. But Jesus, you don't know. You've never ever experienced His saving power. Could I ask you to cry out with that leper, Lord, if Thou art willing, will You save me tonight? Will You do that? Will You do that? Right where you are, Lord, if Thou art willing, will You make me clean? And I promise you, He will tell you, I will be clean. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, continue to wrestle with hearts this evening. O Lord, we pray, cleanse and heal the sinner this evening. We are trusting Thee to bring sinners to Christ through this word. We pray that in coming days we will hear of how the Lord has worked, how He has healed and saved that leprous sinner. We pray in Jesus' name and only for His glory. Amen and amen.